Summer Rae Oakes has written a book with a unique perspective on the relationship of plants and human beings. It's entitled, How to Make a Plant Love You, Cultivate Green Space in Your Home and Heart. Hi, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
You live in Brooklyn, where you founded Homestead Brooklyn, and you've got a popular website, YouTube presence. What's Homestead Brooklyn about?
Well, the blog is really to be able to connect people back to nature and largely through the beauty of plants. So most of the YouTube channel and the blog and also the book is really about that.
And your book is more than just how to garden in an urban space, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think that How to Make a Plant Love You is a bit more like a spiritual guide, and there's a lot of metaphors in there. It's not about just taking care of plants, but it's also about taking care of yourself and the people around you. And I could argue that it could be a little bit more like a precursor to bringing plants into your life, but anybody, even somebody who has plants, they might be able to read the text and look at life in a whole different perspective.
What are some of the pluses of having plants inside your living space, especially if you're homebound with an illness or a senior citizen, or even if you're someone with a busy lifestyle?
It's a great question. And I think, you know, part of what I wanted to create with How to Make a Plant Love You was a compendium of stories that people have shared, some of which you had just mentioned, you know, people who are more homebound now, people who have severe anxiety, people who have depression. Plants just give you the ability to be able to not only nurture them, but nurture yourself. People could have various different stories, like vast different stories, but being able to take care of plants can bring so much joy into people's lives, provided that you are observing them in a way and not just looking at them as decor items.
Well, I've got lots of plants inside and out, and one of the tricks is figuring out how much to water, the right soil, and the lighting. For someone starting out, what are some tips for success?
Well, you make a great point, and I think lighting is a huge portion of that, especially when you talk about indoor plants. I mean, also outdoor plants, but indoor plants were often like short on space and short on light. And light is what plants eat. You know, that's how they photosynthesize. So going into a garden center or plant shop and knowing the quality and the quantity and the intensity of light, what directions your windows face, you know, I have southwest windows and northeast windows. I put very different plants in each of those windows because some can withstand and prefer the kind of intensity of the light that I get through my southwest facing window versus my northeast facing window. Then I would also recommend what kind of plant person you will be. Are you somebody who's a little bit more hands-on, or are you somebody that's a little bit more hands-off? Because if you're hands-off, you might want something that is able to withstand a little bit benign neglect, if you will. And then also what you prefer, like what space you're growing it in. Is it something that is going to be a hanging basket plant versus something that could grow a little bit more upright between a corner of your room that gets, you know, good light? So those types of things will help you determine at least what the best plant is for the space that you're looking for, and will probably set you up a little bit more for success than somebody who doesn't know that information.
Do you have any thoughts on the use of music and their effect on plants?
Well, I think that there has been some really interesting studies that came out in the 80s about how plants react to music. Some of those haven't been totally founded in pure science because they looked at, well, it could actually be the heat coming from the radio. But some of the interesting studies that have been coming out recently was how roots can maybe actually use auditory cues in order to be able to douse for water. And that is just such mind-breaking studies because when we think of plants, we often think of them as, you know, a lower life form. But you can't really compare. It's like comparing apples and oranges. And considering that plants have been here on Earth for far longer than humans or even mammals, you have to see that they've probably developed some really interesting evolutionary aspects to them that make them very sophisticated for their environment. And that ability to be able to connect with plants on that level is just really groundbreaking. But I have a thing that if you're playing music to plants, if you're speaking to your plants, then you're probably really caring for them. You probably put them front and center, and that will encourage them to grow just because you are placing that awareness on them.
Well, I was fascinated by your insights into Singapore's embracing of plants to improve the lives of residents and also tourists. Share some of your observations while you were there.
Well, Singapore, I've been back a couple times, and once when they were less green and now when they are more green, and they have really gone full on. You are within 10 minutes of a green area within Singapore if you're walking. So you're not far from a space of green. I mean, granted, they are only 88 miles off the equator, so they could actually have lots of plants on buildings, but somebody in the northern hemisphere might not be that lucky, you know, because of the winter months. However, in Singapore, you see green spaces absolutely everywhere, whether it's through biophilic architecture, whether it's parks. They have an interest in being able to connect trails and paths across the city to make it much more walkable, to make it much more enjoyable. And they've really looked at incorporating green more to deal with urban heat island effect, which is a real thing. You know, when you have a lot of asphalt and glass, you trap a lot of the heat in there and it actually becomes a discomfort for people. And in many cases, it could actually be a health scare for people. So incorporating green into Singapore has become a top priority for that country.
Do you think that New York City, as well as other cities around the country, are working on creating more green spaces?
I do believe that. I mean, especially if you look at even interior spaces. I mean, if you look at collaborative workspaces, people are always incorporating green more in kind of the landscape into areas where you want to attract people. You want people to stay and enjoy, you know, not only their workspaces, but also their collaborative spaces, places where they hang out. I mean, a really good example is that I have a cafe near my house that has an incredible green wall and skylight. The first place where people go to sit is actually near that green wall. We have another cafe right across the street that doesn't have any of those accoutrements, and people just gravitate towards the things that are absolutely beautiful, that are green, that are lush. I think there's just something deep down in us that we are attracted to. And it might just actually stem from the fact that we were all kind of born out of field and forest way back when we were emerging out of the primordial ooze, if you will.
And finally, this line from your book, plants are the connective tissue between earth and sky. They are very important, aren't they, in many ways?
Yes, and I think if you look at things from a ecosystem level, you know, how trees work with one another in order to be able to create the ecosystem and the community that they live in, I think that is just such a wonderful metaphor for life in general. Like, we create the community, we create the life that we want to live. And by incorporating these principles and being able to extract what we can learn from plants, both indoors and out, is just a wonderful thing. So yeah, there's so much to learn from plants, and I hope that How to Make a Plant Love You really touches upon that and hits a new emotive chord for folks.
Thanks for sharing your thoughts on this fascinating book today, Summer.
Oh, absolutely. And I just want to let everybody know that there's also something called the Plant Shop Pub Crawl. And if you bring your book into designated plant shops in Cincinnati, we have Fern, you could actually get 15% off their purchases too. So it allows people to go in and support their local plant shops and garden centers and actually have a piece of green themselves.
And where can we find links to these garden centers? Are they on your website?
Yeah, you could go on my blog at homesteadbrooklyn.com, and there's over 110 plant shops across 9 countries that are participating. And they're all linked there with their information as well as an interactive map. So pub is short for publication, by the way. So it's a pub crawl that won't give you a hangover.
I've been in conversation with Summer Rain Oaks, author of the book, How to Make a Plant Love You, Cultivate Green Space in Your Home and Heart. She says plants give us a sense of peace, a sense of place. And if we're to consider this world beyond our four walls or home, I can't think of any place better to start than caring for a plant. For a link to this book, please visit our website, wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. I'm Lee Hay.